right, so we are beginning a sermon series this week that will consist of four messages that will be preached over the course of the next 6 weeks. So we'll take a couple of breaks as we work our way through this four-week sermon series. In 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate, I think it's our 128th homecoming. Am I right on that number? It's somewhere around in there, right? 128, a lot of homecomings. We're celebrating having a whole bunch of homecomings. So we'll take a break for that. And then on November the 14th, we'll take a break from the sermon series because we have, we're going to welcome Ivan Makulu and his wife, Melissa, and their family. Ivan's going to be here to preach the word and to share about how the Lord is working in their life and their ministry. They are from Jinja, Uganda, and they were here a couple of years ago and spoke for a few minutes during homecoming. And at this time, they're going to have the whole service to share, and they run a baby's home and a children's home. And then Ivan has also planted and now pastors a church there, Sunrise Church. So I'm really looking forward to them being here. I know that it's going to be a blessing to us, and I believe that they're going to get a blessing just being with this church family as well. So besides the 2 weeks of homecoming and the Makulus coming in, we're going to spend the next several Sundays looking at what the Bible has to say about handling conflict in our lives. Everybody deals with conflict from time to time. Some of y'all might say, oh no, brother, not me. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, right? Well, let's be real. God is good all the time, but conflict is still a reality. We may want everyone to think that it's sunshine 24/7, 365, but everybody knows the truth, right? We've talked before. We had a memorable sermon a couple of years ago where we talked about how we put on a mask when we come to church and we try to pretend that everything's good and nothing is wrong. And I really don't know why we do that. Because everybody else knows when something's bothering us, pretty much. Everybody else knows that our life isn't perfect, no matter how hard we try to pretend like it is. We're not fooling anybody, especially not the Lord. So I don't know why we try so hard to do that, but we do. I know I've done it so many times in my own life, it really doesn't make sense. So I got a picture that I saw somebody share on Facebook. We're going to put that up there now. Y'all check this out. Mom getting kids ready for church. Mom and church. Now, it says mom, it could say dad, it could say brother, it could say anybody. Not picking on the ladies, but that is so true. That is so true. We could literally be arguing in the car and pull up and put it in park and get out, and all of a sudden, hey brother, hey sister, and everything's fine, right? We just try to portray that. We want to act like nothing is going on, and we'll be grinning from ear to ear like a politician 5 seconds after we just got through fussing at each other. So I don't know why we do that, but we do. Conflict is a reality, whether we want to admit it or not. Even in the church, conflict is sometimes going to be a reality. Matthew 18:20 reads, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them." Someone has loosely paraphrased that verse before and said, where two or more are gathered, conflict is there among them. Right? Not biblical, but it's true. Unfortunately, it's very true. There are so many things in life that lead to conflict. So let's just take this nightmare that we've been living through for almost 2 years now, COVID-19. First and foremost, the virus has taken the lives of so many people that we love, right? But in addition to that, it has led to so much division and so much conflict. If you think about it, when we were deciding when to come back to the church, after the initial quarantine, the conflict was stay online or come back to in-person, right? Then it was masks or no masks. Then it was stay in the gym, come back to the sanctuary, right? Then it became vaccine or no vaccine. It's just an endless amount of things to come into conflict about. Like never ending. There's so much emotion involved that the differences of opinion can quickly escalate into conflict, right? But conflict was around way before COVID. As long as there have been people, there's been conflict, right? And I'm excited for us to talk about this for the next several weeks. You say, why in the world would you be excited to talk about conflict? Conflict is not fun. Conflict is awful. I hate it, right? But it's a reality. And the Bible talks about it. And I feel like Romans prepared us to talk about this because Romans talks over and over about unity and division, the danger of division, right? So it's a constant battle for us to preserve unity and fight against division. So I'm excited for us to be able to talk through something that is so practical, so universal to all of us. And I believe it's an opportunity for each one of us to grow closer to the Lord and more faithful to walking out a life that honors Him, all right? So conflict has always been around, but people in general don't always handle conflict real well, do we? No, we don't. Christians don't always handle it real well either, just to be clear. Many times, unfortunately, there's no difference between the way a Christian handles conflict and the way non-believers handle conflict. And that's not a good thing. Many times people handle conflict in one of the following ways, and there's a lot of different ways it can be handled. This is not all of them, this is just a lot of them. Sometimes we ignore the conflict and hope it goes away, right? That's a very typical response to conflict. Let's just ignore it, let's just sweep it under the rug, let's just hope that it passes. Sometimes we make excuses for whatever led to it, and we don't take responsibility. That's another way to respond to conflict. Sometimes we lash out at the other person in anger. That's another way to respond. And sometimes we run from the conflict, right? We just say, well, I'm going to get away from it altogether. I'm leaving. I'm out of here, right? I know that I have been guilty at different times in my life of responding in every single one of those ways. I'm guilty on all four counts. I don't know about y'all. But as believers, we are supposed to handle conflict in a different way than that. The Bible tells us how to handle conflict, so it's up to us to seek out what the Bible says about conflict and then obey it. We don't want to just hear it and then go right back to responding in those same ways. We want to hear what the Word says and obey it. So the sermon series is called Resolving Everyday Conflict. And the first sermon that we're going to talk through today is called Honoring God During Times of Conflict. Thinking through, well, where do you start with this? You know, conflict's a reality, so where do you start with addressing it? Well, the first place to start is that no matter how we respond to it, we want to honor God in that response. Amen? I mean, no matter what we're talking about, whether it's responding to conflict or anything else, fill in the blank, we want to honor God when we do it, right? So if we're going to think through how to respond during times of conflict, the first thing we should talk through, the main priority should be to honor God during those times. Let's stop and pray together before we look at the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the opportunity to come together as a church family and lift up praise to you. God, you are so worthy of all the worship and honor and praise. and so much more, God. Creation cries out and testifies to how great you are, God. And we join in that chorus of praise, God. So thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you. And we want to stay in that mindset of worship as we look at your word now. God, we have reverence for your word. We are thankful for your word, God. And your word is valuable and it is important and it is so beneficial for us. So speak to us through your word, God. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to obey, God. We love you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Honoring God during times of conflict. We're going to read Matthew 22. This is a very well-known passage, a wonderful passage, but I think it's very applicable. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." So here, the Pharisees were addressing Jesus. They call him teacher, which was sort of respectful and sort of sarcastic. I mean, many people already believe that he was a whole lot more than a teacher by this point, but the Pharisees addressed him as teacher. And that what they were doing is they were trying to trick him. This section of Matthew's gospel is about two different groups of people that opposed Jesus. The Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they were trying to gain an advantage against Jesus by tricking him into saying something that they could use against him. So that's what they're trying to do here. The Pharisees had already tried to do it just a little bit earlier. They tried to trick him into saying something against Caesar, right? But that plan failed. They asked him a question they thought would trip him up, and he answered it with wisdom. And they were like, "Oh, that didn't work. We got to think of something else," right? Then the Sadducees tried to trick Jesus with a question about marriage after the resurrection, which is funny to me because they did not even believe in the resurrection. So the Sadducees are trying to trick him by asking a question about something they don't even believe in. They're just trying to win an argument. They're trying to make Jesus trip up and look bad so they can use it against him. But that plan failed as well. So just like a tag team match in wrestling, here come the Pharisees. They get tagged back in, try again, trying to defeat Jesus. This time they try to trip him up with a question about the law. But this one failed as well. Strike three. You're out. All right. Jesus tells them that the greatest command is to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And all the commandments of the law depend on these two commandments. So you say, hey, that's a powerful verse. It's a fantastic verse. What's that got to do with handling conflict? I'm glad you asked. If we will do our best to love God and love our neighbor during a conflict, that will go further to bringing resolution than anything else that we could ever do.
Amen.
If our priority is to love God and love our neighbor, we will get through the conflict. We will find resolution. As followers of Jesus Christ, our first priority in any situation is to glorify God. Great place for amen. I'm just saying. There we go. We want to glorify God through our thoughts, through our words, through our actions. Honoring God is more important than being right. Honoring God is way more important than getting even. It is our highest calling as Christians, and no circumstance in life can ever override that. Did y'all hear that? There is no circumstance in life that gives us the right not to make glorifying and honoring God our highest priority. There is nothing that can ever happen in life that gives us the right to refuse to honor God by rejecting His way and doing it our own way. We will never be justified in doing that. Again, I'm speaking as somebody that's guilty of having done this many times. And I've never been justified one time. When I have tried to be right or get even, I've never been justified one time. And you haven't either. Amen. Now, praise God, we can be forgiven for doing that, but we'll never be justified in choosing not to honor God. So that's the answer to the why question. Why do we strive to honor God at all times, including during times of conflict? Because the greatest commandment is to love God and love our neighbor. That's why we strive to honor God during conflict. All right, so let's move from the why to the how. The practical, okay, that's true. Easier said than done, right? How do you do that? How can we honor God during times of conflict? Let me share three ways with you. Three ways we can honor God during times of conflict. All right, number one, pray about it. Pray about it. You want to honor God during a time of conflict? Go to the Lord in prayer about that conflict. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? Just pray about it. But that's not always so easy to do, is it? When we're mad, when we're hurt, it's not always easy to pray about the situation. In fact, when our emotions are so high in those situations, praying can be the last thing that we want to do about it. But prayer, the very act of prayer, is an act of submission. And so when we pray, we are submitting to God's authority over our lives. Let's look at Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, y'all say everything. Through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't worry about anything, but in everything. Everything's a great big catch-all word that includes conflict. In everything, we are to. Come on, y'all. We are to.
Pray.
I didn't hear you. We are to.
Pray.
Thank you. Pray about it. When we're involved in some type of conflict, we will find ourselves running through it over and over in our minds, worrying about it. That worry can consume us if we're not careful. But the Bible tells us not to worry about it, but instead to what?
Pray.
You see, we have to resist the urge to try to handle it ourselves. Apart from God. Most of the time, we don't even realize that's what we're doing. But when we choose not to take the situation to the Lord, we're choosing to trust in our own abilities instead of God's perfect, unlimited ability. Let me say that again. When we choose to try to fix the problem ourselves, we are choosing to trust in our own abilities instead of choosing to trust in God's perfect ability. There's a guy named Ken Sandy. He's written a whole lot on how Christians should handle conflict. I want to share a quote of his. Listen to this quote. It says, as long as we leave God out of the situation, we can expect to stay stuck in conflict. No matter what we do, no matter what good books we read, no matter what steps we go through trying to fix it ourselves, if we leave God out of it, we can expect to stay stuck in conflict. That is so simple, and yet it is so helpful. If we leave God out, we shouldn't be surprised when we remain stuck in conflict. But when we pray about it, God leads us to see the situation from an eternal perspective instead of the emotional perspective that drove us to be consumed with worry in the first place. So if you want to honor God, if I want to honor God during times of conflict, we've got to what? There we go. We got to pray about it. All right, the next way that we can honor God during times of conflict is by extending grace. Extending grace. Again, there's nothing easy about these steps. If this was easy, everyone would have no problems dealing with conflict. In a lot of ways, being a follower of Christ is very difficult because it goes against what comes naturally to us, right? And extending grace towards someone when we're in conflict with them, that definitely doesn't come naturally to us, does it, church? No, what comes naturally is to look out for number one. What comes naturally is to try and get revenge if someone has hurt us or offended us. What comes naturally is to try and make sure that we come out of the situation looking good and the other person looks bad. That's what comes natural during conflict. So there was a pastor and a music director at church one time, and this is not autobiographical. I love Robert. We get along great. This is a story, all right? Just making that clear. There was a pastor and a music director at church one time that did not get along at all. So one Sunday, the pastor gets up and he preaches on giving and how everyone should gladly give to the work of the Lord. And when he finished preaching, the music director got up and led the church in singing, "Jesus Paid It All," right? A little passive-aggressive stuff going on here, right? So the next Sunday, the pastor preached on gossiping, how everybody should watch their tongues, right? So the music guy got up and led, "I love to tell the story," right? So the pastor became disgusted over the situation. The next Sunday, he tells the congregation he's considering resigning. So the music director after that gets up and leads them in singing, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" Well, that's all the preacher could take. That was it. He resigned the next week, and he told the church that Jesus had led him there, and now Jesus was taking him away. So after he got done, the choir director got up and led the church in singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Right? That was definitely not an example of extending grace during a conflict, right? But when we extend grace to others during times of conflict, we are choosing to give grace to others the same way that God has given grace to us.
Amen.
We show the same grace and love to others that God has lavished upon us. Let's look at Ephesians 4:32. "And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ." That'll always be one of my favorite verses because it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but because when Miranda was, what, 3 or 4? She was in her 3-year-old pre-kindergarten class, and her teacher taught that to all the students. And so she memorized it. She came home and said it in her little baby 3-year-old Miranda voice. And I will always hear that verse in that voice. I love that verse. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Jesus Christ forgave you. Right? Beautiful verse. Our motivation is entirely centered on what God has done for us. Because we are so thankful for what God has done, we choose to show grace to others instead of continuing in conflict. Now, we're talking about conflict. There are situations where it's gone further than conflict. And it's a situation that might be abusive. And that's a whole different story in the way we react to that. I mean, we still want to love and we still want to show grace as much as we can, but we also we would handle that situation. So I want to be careful the way I talk about things, because I don't want to make it sound like every situation is the same, and I don't want to make it sound like it's an easy thing to show grace towards someone that has hurt us, right? Everybody's got a different story. Everybody's been through different things. I'm not saying every situation is the same. But when, you know, in Romans it says, if possible, live at peace with everyone. As far as it up to you. Right? If possible, extend grace. All right. The third way we can honor God in the midst of conflict is by trusting God to bring resolution. That's the third way we can honor God, is trusting God to bring resolution. Every conflict that we face in life is an opportunity to trust God, if you think about it. Every single one of them, as hard as they are, it's an opportunity to trust God. To trust that even when we can't see how things are going to work out, God already knows.
Amen.
God is in control, and because He is in control, we can trust Him in every situation.
Amen.
Let's look at another familiar passage. I told you it wouldn't be long until we were back in Romans. Well, there it is. Here we are. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
What things work together?
All
things. We can trust God because all things, the bad, the awful, the heartbreaking, and the wonderful, and everything in between, all of it works together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. There's some things in life that happen to us, they're not good. They're terrible, tragic, senseless things. But because God is powerful and because He rules over the world, you and I, as believers, can rest knowing that God is in control and that He uses all things together. Oftentimes, we see no hope for resolution in our conflict. We think, well, this is just the way it is now. We can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, but God can. God already knows how it's going to happen. God already knows about the good that's going to come because He's in control even when everything else seems out of control. Whenever there is conflict in our lives, we hope for reconciliation, right? That's the best case scenario. There's a conflict, we want reconciliation. We want it to be like it was before or even better. But reconciliation doesn't always happen. Even if reconciliation doesn't happen, resolution can happen. God can bring a solution and an end to the situation if we trust Him with it.
Amen.
Remember, y'all, every conflict we face is an opportunity to trust God. All right, so in conclusion, this is an important subject, not just for our church, but for every church out there. Too many conflicts that happen within the church are handled in a way that does damage to the people and to the church. But as Christians whose lives have been changed by the good news of the gospel, we have to submit to God's authority and seek to do things His way and for His glory. We have to look at our situation from an eternal perspective in order to see that there's more going on and there's more at stake than just the present outcome of the situation. Why is there more at stake? Why is there more going on? Because our lives are meant to point others to Jesus. And we cannot and we should not allow times of conflict to get in the way of that. You see, when we don't handle conflict well, it is detrimental not just to our relationships, but also to our testimony. And it's also detrimental to our personal fellowship with God as well. If we don't handle conflict well, it can damage our testimonies when other people see us handling conflict in the same ways unbelievers handle it. Then they're left thinking, well, I thought they were different because of Jesus. Maybe they're not so different after all. Maybe they aren't changed like they claim to be. It can damage our testimony. Our lives, again, our lives are meant to be lived in a way that points others to Jesus. And not handling conflict well can also be bad for our fellowship with God because that fellowship is interrupted when we sin instead of obeying. There's a pastor in the Atlanta area named Louis Giglio, fairly well known. Some of you may have heard of him. He tells the story of a time of conflict in his own life and how a friend of his was able to speak truth to him in that moment. So another close friend of Louis that he had done ministry with had betrayed him. And he doesn't say how he was betrayed, just that he was betrayed. He says when he was reacting and processing what had happened, he sent a text to another good friend telling him all about the situation. He says he sent that text and then he was just literally sitting there like looking at the phone, waiting on that text to come back. Like, have you ever done that? Like, send a message to somebody and you don't put it down and go about your day. You're just like, okay, come on. Come on, you're waiting to see. I'm ready for this. I want to see this response. That's what he was doing, right? He's waiting for this reply to come through, telling him that he was completely justified in his anger and how he should do whatever he could to get revenge, right? He was waiting. He waited and waited and waited for that text. But that text never came. Instead, his friend sent a simple 9-word text in response. This is what the text said. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. What? He's waiting to hear, man, that's awful, man. That guy's a scumbag. That guy never should have done that. Da, 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 da. And he gets back. Don't give the enemy a seat. So he said when he saw that text, it made him madder than he already was. Like he just got even more mad, right? He was so frustrated that nobody was taking his side and bad-mouthing the other guy with him, right? But after a little while, he began to understand what his friend meant and why he sent that text. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he must flee from us, right? Louis realized that he hadn't been resisting the devil in that moment of conflict. He'd been playing right into his hand. The thoughts of rage and revenge that were going through his mind, they didn't come from God. Have you ever been in a moment of conflict and all you start having all these thoughts and it's just driving you crazy? God didn't send those thoughts to you. Right? Louis was unknowingly giving the enemy a seat at the table to influence and direct his life in the opposite direction of the way that God wanted him to live. Louis was pretty fortunate to have a friend that loved him enough to speak that truth and risk being mad at him, right? Fortunate, we're all fortunate if we have friends, brothers and sisters in Christ that love us enough and care for us enough to tell us the truth, even though it might be hard to hear. We all need friends like that. I believe this is one of the most helpful sermons that I could ever preach, because we all face situations of conflict at different times in our lives. Because that is true, it is extremely important that we prepare ourselves to face that conflict in a way that honors God. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful.